Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. I hope all of you had a good 4th of July weekend. Today we've got some good news for our mountain areas about some new intermountain paramedics coming to the region. We also have news about fireworks, accidents, and fires, and some good reminders for why these things are best left to the professionals. There are fewer juveniles in custody in San Diego County, so few that they're going to be consolidating some juvenile detention facilities here in East County, and we'll have details. We've also got news from three different water districts about three different approaches to getting their customers to cut back during the drought. We'll have news about a fire over the weekend that displaced some La Mesa residents from an apartment building. Hear why the EPA is preparing to ban chlorpyrifos, a pesticide. Learn about a food drive in La Mesa to benefit Mama's Kitchen. Hear about the new Kaboom Park that's open now in El Cajon. And then to wrap up this 4th of July weekend, we'll be replaying our interviews with the Founding Fathers themselves, talking about the issues of their day that are still just as relevant in 2015. We'll also have a bookshelf interview with author Sherry Kephart. So stay tuned for all of these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
The San Diego County Fire Authority and CAL FIRE are making a major upgrade to fire and emergency medical services at the county's Intermountain Fire Station. Effective July 1st, new round-the-clock paramedic services are now rolling out for the first time ever. The station is located east of Ramona along CA 78, a main route to Julian. The upgrade is part of an overall effort to increase paramedic capabilities throughout the County Fire Authority service area. A new paramedic engine at Intermountain is the sixth that the County Fire Authority has added over the past few years. Other new County Fire Authority-funded paramedic engines now operate out of the Otay, Jamul, Lake Morena, Pine Valley, and Descanso stations. Tony Meacham, chief of the County Fire Authority and CAL FIRE San Diego, says this is an exciting time in the evolution of County Fire. Supervisor Diane Jacob calls the action a big step forward in our backcountry and represents our latest effort to bolster emergency medical services for residents across the region. The investment is part of $320 million that the county has spent on fire protection and emergency medical information in recent years. East County Magazine special investigations have previously exposed gaps in staffing at some rural stations, including mountain areas. Ramona and other areas surrounding the Intermountain Fire Station have substantial populations, and Highway 78 has numerous traffic accidents that require medical intervention and paramedic response. So adding a county-funded CAL FIRE-staffed paramedic fire engine to serve the area 24/7 is a welcome change for both residents and motorists. New staff positions include a fire captain, two fire apparatus engineers, and three firefighter paramedics, the first time in history that the Intermountain Fire Station has been staffed at this level. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jim Brewster.
Last week, we reminded our listeners that fireworks are illegal in San Diego County, and we cautioned you about the dangers. Today, we have some stories that make clear why shooting off your own fireworks is really not a good idea. In Los Angeles, fireworks shot into a mattress set three warehouses on fire, causing an estimated $3 million in damages and injuring four firefighters, the LA County Sheriff's Department reports. In Vacaville, California, fireworks are suspected of starting a 325-acre wildfire that forced 125 people to evacuate their homes. Thankfully, none were burned. Another one-acre fire in Santa Clarita may also be linked to fireworks, since officials received many reports of fireworks being shot off in the area at the time that fire started. In San Francisco, five people were treated at hospitals from fireworks-related injuries, including a child airlifted with severe burns. In Hollister, a man was arrested after a fireworks mortar that he lit off fell on its side, shooting projectiles at people celebrating at a 4th of July block party Saturday night. And finally, in Maine, 22-year-old Devin Staples, after drinking with friends, tried to shoot a firework off of his head. He died instantly when the mortar tube exploded, blowing off the top of his skull. So for next year, please leave the fireworks show to the professionals for a safe celebration. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Here's some good news. The number of juveniles in custody has dropped sharply across San Diego County, so much that the county's probation department has announced plans to shut down its juvenile ranch facility in Campo. The 45 teenage juvenile offenders at the Campo facility will be moved to the Camp Barrett Youth Facility in Alpine. Probation Chief Mac Jenkins says the drop in juveniles in custody is due to several reasons, including a significant investment in prevention and diversion programs, plus improved outcomes among youth who have been placed on probation. As a result of these positive outcomes, Jenkins says the county no longer needs two youth detention locations. He adds, in an effort to be efficient and cost-effective, consolidation of the two facilities can better provide joint rehabilitation services for both populations. Crystal Sweet, probation division chief in charge of both facilities, says the consolidation is expected to be complete by early August. After the consolidation, Camp Barrett will house about 100 male youths. Staff from the Campo facility will be shifted to Camp Barrett. Just how much have the juvenile populations at these two East County facilities dropped? Back in 2009, Camp Barrett housed 149 youths per day on average, but now there are just 65 young offenders left there. The juvenile ranch facility in Campo has dropped from 136 youths a day in 2009 to just 45 youths a day recently. Camp Barrett is closest to medical and other services in San Diego. In addition, the Campo Juvenile Ranch facility includes buildings that are part of the historic Camp Lockett that historians hope to see preserved. Camp Lockett, a former Army base, was the last station of the famous Buffalo Soldiers, the all-black Civil War Cavalry Brigade. Probation officials say that any future use for the Campo facility will take its historic value and importance to the community into consideration. The camp programs offer long-term rehabilitative services such as drug, alcohol, anger management, and individual and group counseling for the youths in a focused, structured setting. At both residential facilities, male teens who are wards of the court also participate in school, life skills, and vocational classes. Some are also assigned to public service work crews. Previously, Camp Barrett and JRF have offered slightly different programming. Now, all programming will be combined at the single location, allowing the youths a broader range of services, Sweet said. He concludes, over time, our goal is to provide not only a broader range, but to keep increasing the level of services. We are constantly seeking out the best and most effective offerings at our facilities that will help the youth to improve their lives. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Jim Brewster.
Water districts across our region are taking different approaches to convince their customers to conserve water during extreme drought conditions. Representatives from Helix, Padre Dam, and Otay Water District spoke at a California drought program hosted by the San Diego East County Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce on June 24th in La Mesa. All three districts are working to make sure their customers comply with the governor's order for mandatory 25% water cuts statewide. But their approaches vary, ranging from educating consumers to offering rebates to approving fines on heavy water users. Here's what you need to know. Customers in all districts are asked to cut water use by 20 to 25%. Watering days are limited to twice a week, and some irrigation forms are limited to just 10 minutes at a time, such as if you rely on spray nozzles. But there are exceptions for drip irrigation, soaker hoses, rotating nozzles, smart controllers, and other water-conserving methods. For instance, soaker or drip lines can be run for several hours at a time to irrigate orchards. You should irrigate before 10 a.m. or after 6 p.m. There are also exceptions to keep landscaping alive for wildfire defensible space and slope stability. Districts are notifying customers of obvious water leaks, and you're required to fix leaks within 48 hours. It is illegal to water during a rainstorm or within 48 hours after significant rainfall. There are rebates available for items such as turf replacement, rain barrels, and water-efficient irrigation upgrades. If you opt not to replace lawns, mulching is recommended to keep grass alive in the summer months, as there won't be enough water. Restaurants may serve water only on request, and hotels must offer guests the options not to wash towels and linens daily. There are some differences between the water agencies. Carlos Lugo, general manager of Helix Water District, says Helix has learned some lessons from the 1991 drought. Back then, the district relied 90% on imported water. By 2020, that should drop to 30%. In the Helix District, 80% of the water is used by residential customers. So the district has imposed strict limits on outdoor watering to just 2 days a week, but Helix customers can still choose which days to water. If any district does not cut its water enough, it could face fines of $10,000 a day. Unlike Otay Water or Padre Dam Municipal District, however, the Helix Board has voted to impose fines on its water users if they exceed 30 units of water in a two-month billing period. The average residential use is 26 units every 2 months. A unit equals 758 gallons of water. A warning will be sent before fines are imposed, and fines will be 55 cents for every unit over 30. Helix is holding workshops for landscapers and others. Lugo says Helix is not anti-turf or anti-tree, and he insists you can modify watering so plants can survive. Besides targeting outdoor water use, the district is also encouraging conservation indoors through things such as water-wise appliances and gray water systems. Caltrans, a heavy water user, has cut its water use 50% in the Helix District. During a question session from the audience, Lugo was asked why Helix went straight to fines without giving customers a chance to comply voluntarily first, like the other two districts are doing. He said penalties are a price signal and that we'll be evaluating how customers respond. Melissa McChesney, the communications officer for Padre Dam Municipal Water District, offered a different perspective. Padre relies on 100% imported water. That's a challenge, McChesney admits. After the last drought in 1991, Padre customers rallied and cut their water use 29%, and they have never rebounded. So she says it's hard to ask them to cut more, but we must. All three water districts voiced objections to the governor's equal cuts ordered statewide, which fails to take into account huge conservation efforts already made in districts like Padre. Now the Padre District is working on outreach and enforcement. McChesney explains, "We want to give our customers the opportunity to reach goals without penalties." The district is limiting water to 2 days a week, and further, it's requiring households with odd-numbered addresses to water only on Sundays and Thursdays, while even-numbered addresses can water on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So far, that's been very successful, she says. Padre has also made automated calls asking customers to cut water use 20% and telling them about the assigned watering days. In addition, Padre is focusing its efforts on high water users with some remarkable success stories. McChesney reveals, "We met with the city of Santee and found a cost-effective way to change a large area of turf to use recycled water, and that will save 30% of the irrigation bill for the entire city of Santee." Another example is an avocado farmer who cut water use by 15%. Padre uses recycled water in some areas, with Santee Lakes a long-standing water reclamation model. The district also recently unveiled a new advanced water purification project. All water saved by Padre customers will remain in the district, stored at the San Vicente Reservoir with its newly raised dam. Mark Roback, a director with the Otay Water District, said Otay also learned the importance of conservation in 1991, when Metropolitan Water, its supplier, voted for 50% cutbacks during that drought. "That was devastating for our region," Roback recalled. "It was our wake-up call. We never wanted to be caught with just one supplier again." Roback also noted that some areas of our state are in far more dire straits than here. Some towns are running out of water, and Central Valley farmers are forced to truck in water or fallow their fields, unless they have a deep well. Otay started using recycled water back in 1991. Roback says that in Chula Vista you'll see wide parkways with green landscaping, all using recycled water. Otay made a deal with Imperial Irrigation, which has the largest entitlement of Colorado River water. Under the deal, farms in the Imperial Valley would conserve water with help from Otay lining canals there, and Otay could use the water saved in return. Water rates in the last 10 years, though, have doubled in the Otay District. For that money, the district has added two large reservoirs and now has 99% water reliability. Roback says if we took no water from Northern California, we would still have 97% water reliability. Unlike Helix, Otay is not imposing penalties either, but instead relies on voluntary compliance. Otay has a very high water efficiency rate. with only 3.5% of water wasted, even including firefighting and flushing lines. And it's working to get that down to 3%. By contrast, some urban areas in other places have waste as high as 50%, Roback said. Countywide, the San Diego region's water waste is a scant 5%, with the rest mainly pumped and retreated. Paying for future desalinization of seawater costs Otay District residents $5 a month, planning ahead. Otay is also looking into a desalinization plant partnership in Mexico that could allow Otay to bring some water back across the border. Roback urges the public that there is room for optimism despite the drought, however. Don't move away from San Diego based on the water squeeze, he advises. As for concerns raised by some here about water used in construction, Roback says that some new residential building growth is needed and can be accommodated to meet the housing needs for children of San Diego County residents who want to stay in our region when they grow up. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
A two-alarm fire at 8420 Buckland Street in La Mesa on Friday morning started in a kitchen. It caused $325,000 in damages, Heartland Fire reports. The call came in at 8:20 a.m. reporting the blaze. Heartland crews responded to find heavy black smoke and flames billowing forth from two units on the second story. Aggressive action by Heartland firefighters from La Mesa and El Cajon with help from San Diego Fire Department had the fire knocked down in about 20 minutes. Three apartment units were heavily damaged, and two more sustained smoke and water damage. Due to the damage from the fire, SDG&E turned off the power to all 12 units of the complex, displacing occupants until a building inspector can determine if the building is safe. The American Red Cross was called in to assist the apartment manager in finding temporary housing for those displaced by the fire, but fortunately, no injuries were reported. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Environmental and farm workers groups are cheering this week's announcement by the Environmental Protection Agency that it plans to ban agricultural use of the pesticide chlorpyrifos. The EPA banned its use in homes 15 years ago. Now the agency acknowledges risks to drinking water from runoff as well as to agricultural workers and nearby residents exposed to pesticide drift. Patty Goldman is a managing attorney with the law firm Earth Justice.
It's been a long time coming, but it is the right thing to do. Chlorpyrifos is such a dangerous pesticide. It should be banned across the board. We hope EPA will hang tough and see this through to the end.
The EPA said it may allow some use in the future, but only if pesticide manufacturers offer meaningful mitigation plans. Dow AgroSciences, the primary manufacturer of chlorpyrifos, says it has been extensively studied, is approved for use in 88 countries, and degrades quickly enough to have what the company terms a negligible effect on runoff. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, the state of California also announced restrictions on the chemical's use. Margaret Reeves, senior scientist with the Pesticide Action Network, thinks a complete ban is necessary to protect rural communities.
California's Department of Pesticide Regulation is finally stepping up to the plate, but those restrictions are very small, voluntary, and not enough.
Chlorpyrifos is widely used in California, particularly on almond, walnut, orange, and alfalfa crops. Studies have linked the chemical to such health conditions as ADHD, reduced IQ, and poor cognitive development. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is Jim Brister, KNSJ News, with news about an East County church that's mounting a food drive July 8th through 28th to help Mama's Kitchen deliver nutritious meals to men, women, and children with HIV or AIDS. Mama's Kitchen also provides nutrition education and services to its clients through a program called Mama's Pantry. The Table United Church of Christ of La Mesa is asking the public to give non-perishable food items such as canned tuna, chili, salmon, and soup, canned fruits, peanut butter and jelly, spaghetti sauce, boxed cereals, and dry milk. You can deliver non-perishable foods to the church at 11 a.m. on Sundays or call 464-1519 for other drop-off hours July 8th through July 28th. The church is located at 5940 Kelton Avenue in La Mesa. For more information, you can visit the church's website at tableucc.com or Mama's Kitchen's website at mamaskitchen.org.
A new Kaboom playground at Bell Bet Park in El Cajon is now complete thanks to about 200 volunteers who completed the project in just 5.5 hours. As an added bonus, the city also installed a new adult outdoor fitness park located next to the playground. The big bill took place Saturday, June 20th at Bill Bett Park, located at 543 North Pier Street. The playground was custom designed with help from community members. Construction began at 8:30 a.m., with Oklahoma police and firefighters pitching in alongside members of the public. Monica Zek, public information officer for the City of Oklahoma, extends a big thank you to the playground's funding partners, including the City of Oklahoma, Foresters, Stony Kids, the Oklahoma Kiwanis Club, and Kaboom. This is Oklahoma's third Kaboom playground in 3 years. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Shawan Armstrong.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. The East County Magazine show airs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right. We've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers and some founding mothers who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. But of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life. But we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor. Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death!
King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never! Never!
George, feel the smart blows themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her masters.
more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people. But more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams, you were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Amen. Indeed, James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayenanegaye, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered.
Thank you. Thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. Where left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Huzzah! Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion.
Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
Sounds like the original Tea Party movement.
Chief Brandt, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. But I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man. I shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame!
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
Excellent. Excellent.
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain. No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by feeling hearts alone best understood. I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Oh. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, the revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
Idle No More. If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including, reportedly, flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened. Mm-hmm.
President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concern?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, The rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
We imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today. Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind, and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth, Mr. Henry?
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Huzzah. Huzzah.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh. That sounds like Ben Franklin, doesn't it?
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen.
I'll drink to that.
President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students. Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and as necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm speaking with Sherry Kephart, author of the upcoming memoir, A Few Minor Adjustments, which was placed in San Diego Writers, Inc. first annual Memoir Writers Competition. Along with a select group of other memoirs, A Few Minor Adjustments will be showcased by professional actors at the Horton Grand Theater on Tuesday, June 30th. Welcome, Sherry. It's a pleasure having you on Bookshelf.
Thank you, Raina. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's begin with a snapshot of your story. I know that you longed for adventure. You traveled the world from the remote villages of Central Africa to New Zealand until a mysterious illness brought you to the precipice of death, yet your memoir is comical and tragic. How do you balance that in telling such a powerful story?
I think it's very important to inject humor in our life and our stories, because we all have tragedies. We all go through really difficult things. And when I first wrote my book, it was very dark and very serious. It was very cathartic to write. Mm-hmm. However, I was depressed reading it, and I thought, who's going to want to read that? So I said, you know what? It's like when you go on a traveling adventure and all these crazy weird things happen.
Right.
And not really great things. And then you come back and you tell the stories to your friends and they're really funny.
Right. In retrospect.
In retrospect. So then you're like, then I thought about it. I thought, you know, I'm going to inject that humor throughout my book and help give people a little bit of breath in during these tragedies that you read about that happened to me.
Right.
And interestingly enough, it actually helped me kind of rewrite the bad things that happened to me in my mind and my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they're not such bad things. Like, I look back at them with humor now and insight that I never had before until I wrote this book. So I feel really, really happy about that.
Can you give us an example of something that's poignant and funny, the way in the telling?
Absolutely. I had a heart procedure, and which no one wants to go through.
Right.
And it was a very, you know, nerve-wracking day, and I was very scared. And so I'm on the table strapped down like Frankenstein's monster, you know, with all these electrodes and devices, and there's people scurrying back and forth, and there's bright light shining on me in this room, and I'm like, wow, they're going to go in and just, you know, do things to my heart. You know, that's not good. And there's a nurse. She comes up to me, one of the cardiac nurses, and she comes up and looks, leans over me and says, you know, I have your condition too, but I'm too scared to do the procedure.
Really?
And I was like, what? You're telling me this now? So I looked at her and I could barely move my head because I'm strapped down. And I said, well, you know, you can see I obviously made the decision to go through with it. So maybe you'll be able to get more courage after you see what happens with me.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, you're right. Thank you. And I was thinking to myself, isn't she supposed to be comforting me? Right?
So you did her therapy.
Yeah, I did her therapy. And so I look back now. That was not funny at the time for me. But now I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah. So ironic.
It's ironic.
Yeah. Well, I know that you started out as a Peace Corps volunteer in Zambia. Tell us what that was like for a Venice Beach girl.
It was shocking. I mean, there's no way around it. You go from California with beaches and very affluent cultures and, you know, everything at our fingertips, whether you have money or not. It's there and it's available and you see it. And you go to a place where there's death and disease and desolation and corruption and on everywhere you turn. And yet these people are some of the happiest, nicest, sincerest people you'll ever meet. And so
it's amazing.
I have goosebumps right now just remembering the integrity and soul of these people. It's just, it's beautiful. And they had nothing. And yet they were willing to give everything they had to me. But what was interesting to me, it was the most shocking part of my experience was coming home.
Right.
I thought it would be going there. But when you come back, you're transformed in a way that most people who have never been to a place like that can ever understand. And so I had to readjust my thinking to living in the privilege that we have living here in the United States and understand that. And there's a responsibility with that to live your life with gratitude, live your life with insight and share it with others. So the people that aren't able to travel to those remote places and see what's going on, to really help them understand and make this world a better place, really, because of what I've experienced. And that's one of my goals with the book, is to shed light on that other side of life.
Now, what kind of work were you doing in the Peace Corps? Because I know that's where you first got sick.
Yes. We were the first group of Peace Corps volunteers to go to Zambia. And we were doing a water and sanitation health education project. So we were building wells and latrines. And it was hard labor in like really, really hot sun in difficult conditions. You know, there was no electricity, no running water, no creature comforts of any kind. So we were really living in remote places like the locals do. And it was very harsh.
And so what made you choose this?
I wanted to help people. I mean, I always had that dream and my mother instilled that into me. We did a lot of volunteer work as kids in my house, helping other people. And so that was a really thing I always wanted to keep in my life, but I also always longed for adventure. I wanted to explore the world and see how other people lived and what they were doing, because there's so much, you know, there's so much outside of ourselves.
Right. And you certainly got adventure.
I got more than I asked for.
Right.
Absolutely.
I know that for years, your illness, it baffled medical specialists and new age specialists. What kept you going through all of it? I know that you reached bottom many times. So what kept you going?
There were so many things. First and foremost, you have to have a love for life. If you don't have a strong will to live, you'd give up a long time ago. So I fortunately had that. I always had this amazing zest for living on every level. So I wanted to get back to restored health so I could do things again, so I could be a part of the world. But more than that, it was love. You know, I had love from my family, my friends, my boyfriend at the time, who stayed by my side throughout the whole thing. What an amazing man. And then everybody in the medical profession who went to bat for me and never gave up. You know, there were so many people that were baffled and didn't know what to do with me. Yet there was others that were persistent and said, let's figure this out. And if I don't know the answer, I'll direct you to someone that does.
For all those people out there who have an ailment and don't really, that hasn't been diagnosed, that they don't know what it is, would you have any words of wisdom for them?
Absolutely. No matter how bad your day is this day and how insurmountable it seems, the next day can be better. So hold on, find that glimmer and spark of light in each dark moment, and there might just be something for you the next day.
So I guess that's what you meant on your Facebook page when you say that you received more than just a diagnosis from your adventure, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always something more than what's happening to us. We may not see it in the moment, but our biggest tragedies, the biggest darkness in our life, I think yields the best, most beautiful lessons in love and light.
So are you excited to see parts of your story being played out on stage?
Yes, I am. I'm so excited. This is a dream come true. And I look forward to making people laugh, inspiring people, helping people. It's absolutely a dream.
Do you have any concerns or doubts of how the actress will portray some of the experiences in your illness and story?
I don't have any doubts. I saw this in the rehearsals. Uh-huh. Everything's going well. I do have concerns that I might be branded with some of the unique things that are shown in this showcase, which I will not tell you or
no,
give away.
Don't give the spoiler.
But let me just say this. It's quite unique. And everybody that has seen any part of this so far just says, wow. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting.
Well, congratulations on winning that.
Thank you.
One last question. With your memoir complete and it's going to be launched in the world this year, what's next for you? What are you writing now?
I have so many things I want to write, and I'm so excited. One of the things I'm working on is a cookbook. Hmm. It's called The Cookbook for People Who Can't Eat Anything. It is a humorous and comprehensive account of someone like me who's gone through a lot of health struggles and finds that they have a lot of allergies, sensitivities to food. And so, you know, it's just about clean eating, healthy eating, but with a twist, a lot of humor in it, a lot of fun. I want to have fun with it, but helping people like me who think they really can't eat anything, there's so much you can't eat. So that's one of the things I'm working on.
So you've become an expert on food as well.
I don't know about an expert, but close to it, yes.
Okay, well, our time is up, Sherry, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And enjoy your show. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
For more information on Sherry Kephart and her work, please visit her Facebook page at facebook.com/Sherry.Kephart, and that's K-E-P-H-A-R-T .author. Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you have been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.